All right, we're back here on People of Interest here on CKUW 95.9 FM. Right now, I have a special guest in the studio. His name is Damon Nasserbath, and as I mentioned off the top of the program, he was in Tahrir Square on June 30th for a large protest in Egypt prior to Morsi being removed from power. And he's back in Winnipeg now. So, Damon, you're originally grew up in Winnipeg?
I'm originally from Ontario.
From Ontario, okay. And so what kind of led you to being in Egypt in June?
A little bit with family background and the desire to study there and see stuff like this. Mm-hmm. See where my family comes from and that kind of stuff.
Okay, so you have so family history there, and you're kind of just interested in the protest movement or kind of the changes that were happening, or
I just kind of went there to study, and then it just kind of happened.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. So it was just a spontaneous thing. So how did your life studying there change when everything was when people were taking to the streets?
A lot of the times, even after June 30th and the subsequent protests, my classes were canceled not because of the protests themselves, but because my teachers were at the protests. So
yeah,
we couldn't go to school because there was no teachers. Everybody was too busy protesting.
Oh, wow. Okay. So have you ever been to any, in protests in Winnipeg for anything?
Yes, many things.
Yeah. And so I guess... I mean, living here all my life, I've never seen something happen where, teachers leave their posts and people leave their jobs like they do in Egypt there. Like, how is the mindset so much different there?
Right now, Egypt is, what I would say, very polarized.
Mm-hmm.
So, since the revolution, it's a very political attitude by the day. So things are always changing and people are very... Everybody everywhere is into the political life of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very different from here where people don't seem to care as much.
Yeah, so but would you say, like, I guess there's a lot more at stake there than there would be for instance here in Winnipeg?
Definitely. Egypt, since the fall of Mubarak, has changed a lot in some good and some bad ways. A lot of economic instability. There was literally close to no tourists there. I went to a few places myself where there usually would be, but there's literally no tourists. The economy since then has fallen a little bit due to the turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
And so being the center of the Arab world, there's a lot at stake if the future of Egypt goes Islamist or military government, things like that. There could be a lot at stake, not just for Egypt, but for the entire region.
Mm-hmm. And so what was it like being there, with the amount of people there were in the streets there?
It was encouraging as well. A little more crazy than I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
This being any protest here in Canada where streets were literally clogged and there was no way to get anywhere other than to walk from Tahrir Square all the way to Heliopolis by the airports. There is people lining the streets against the government.
Mm-hmm. And did you see, like, were there frequent clashes and stuff between government forces or military forces, or like how volatile was it when you were there?
Most of the clashes happened between the opposition, who was, I shouldn't say backed by the army, but the army more or less took the opposition side.
Yeah.
And the pro-Morsi supporters and other Islamist and Salafi forces like this. That's where the main clashes happened, and most of the ones, at least that I saw, happen on what's called the 6th of October Bridge.
Okay.
Which is one of the main bridges going downtown from Zamalek and Gezira.
Mm-hmm. And was it... how were people reacting? Like, I mean, there's lots of vulnerable people, right? It's not just you know, big, burly, you know, men, it's women and children as well are all in the midst of it, right?
Yes. A lot of times they would usually retreat to the back, and then people would be at the front throwing stones, and many people had metal bars, metal rods like this.
Like kind of big metal pipes? Or
yes, yeah. Pipes, pieces of parking, pieces of parking equipment, things like that to use to hit each other.
Okay, like parking meters?
Yes.
Okay. Wow, so people would just kind of pull whatever's on the street.
Yes, they would take whatever's on the street, bottles, cans, anything they can find, and be lobbying each other each side. And then sometimes, as you see in the few massacres that happened, the military would come in and start shooting, mostly at the pro-Morsi supporters, but that was mostly in the days after the initial protests.
Mm-hmm. So I guess your studies there, did you end up coming back, I guess, in mid-school year, or did you?
Yes, a little after, about 6 or 7 days after the government was actually overthrown. That's when everything kind of went, at least for our school, and kind of went back to normal.
Oh, I see. So it went back to normal, and then you were able to finish what you were doing there?
Yes.
And then, so how did that affect kind of the, you know, the day-to-day? Like, I guess, is everyone's talking about it? Is that the way it is?
As well, yes. Everybody is very talking about it. All political activity in Egypt right now is just focused around what happened, whether it was a coup, whether it was a revolution, things like this.
Mm-hmm.
Day-to-day as well, it changed strangely. Very in one night when I arrived there, there were many long lines at the gas pumps.
Right.
There was no police patrols whatsoever. The country just seemed to be kind of at a standstill, and literally overnight, the blackouts stopped, the gas lines ended, traffic was flowing again, there were police back on patrol. It was really strange to see everything kind of literally disappear overnight.
Wow, so were people prepared for those kind of things?
It seems like they were prepared for it, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't... I mean, these were sort of organized protests, right? Like they weren't just spontaneous, so everyone was like, okay, we have to hunker down here because there's going to be, you know, infrastructure and issues like that, right?
Yes, the protest was organized mostly by a movement called Tamarold, which means rebel.
Yeah.
And they were the main organizers of this, the anti-demonstration, as well as other leftist secular liberal parties as well. And even one Salafi party that ended up joining at the last minute.
Is it social media, the way that the word spread so quickly over there?
Yes, social media. Everywhere you saw, there was posters for the event. Everywhere you go, it was being announced all over the place. It was very widely known.
Okay, so there's no... I mean, there's no government kind of, like, control over spreading the word over these things, right? Like,
The government of Mohamed Morsi, no. There wasn't too much control over the media,
mm-hmm.
at least at the time.
And so what were people saying about, like, you know, the influential forces and, like, what may be behind, you know, like, Morsi or behind the protests, and kind of, like, are people concerned of, like, outside influences outside of Egypt?
Definitely. The biggest thing that was hurled as an insult towards both sides is that both sides are backed by the U.S. and Israel.
Right.
So the biggest insult that everyone was throwing back at each other was that Morsi was an agent for Israel. He was an agent for the United States. He's selling out Egypt and the Arab world. And then, of course, they would hurl the same insults back at the opposition, saying they were anti-revolutionaries that were part of Mubarak regime.
Mm-hmm.
And they supported Israel, and they were the ones working for the American imperialists.
All right. We actually have another person on the line here right now who's going to join the conversation. Let me just, it's here, it's Ahmed Sami, are you on the line there? Let's see. Oh. Is he not on the line there? Ahmed?
Yes, hello.
Hello. Hi, this is John Wilson here on CKW.
Hi, John, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great. Thanks so much for joining. I'm just speaking here with Damon Nazarbath, who is studying in Egypt in June when the recent protests broke out. And you of course are in Cairo right now. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm in Cairo right now.
Yeah, and so we were just talking about what the kind of influential forces are kind of behind the different sides, and Damon was saying that I guess both sides lob the kind of accusation that each group is backed by Israel and the United States. Is that the, I guess a common thing there that you've noticed?
Well, it depends on how you see the thing happening here.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the both sides is think that United States playing or should play an important role.
Sorry, whether they should.
Yes, because it's two different point of views.
Mm-hmm.
The first point of view thinks that the United States is supporting the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
And they want the Muslim Brotherhood, the ex-president, to be a president. Right. And this is a point of view is attacking the United States. The other point of view is seeing United States is manipulating the political situation, while it see a very clear coup d'etat,
right,
as they call it.
Yeah.
And this is the Muslim Brotherhood point of view, and the United States is supporting this coup d'etat. And they think that the United States have to stop supporting this coup d'etat and start to support the legitimacy president, as they said.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends. The United States is playing a different role here.
I see. So it's each side has a different point of view, of course. Is there anything that they people agree upon in the two sides that you've noticed? Is there a common
nothing? People are talking from two different planets, two yeah. different languages, and it's funny. But it's also dangerous because the tense of getting violent is very high here.
Yeah.
But I can say that the majority of the people didn't like the Muslim Brotherhood president. And I can see that they mobilized to the squares in a big demonstrations. Very big ones, actually. Never saw, I've been in 25th of January revolution here in Egypt, and they participated. But this one against that president was the biggest ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see a lot of political and economical frustration happened during this 1 year. And I think it's not only the frustration, it's also that the people they didn't see what they dreamed with in the 25th revolution, 25th of January revolution 2011.
Yeah.
They wanted to see an implementation for this revolution, and that was a big problem facing Muslim Brotherhood president, elected president, because he cannot implement anything almost.
Yeah.
And then it's as the Times magazine before mentioned, and the cover, we are the best protesters of the world. if Egypt and any other state country in the world, we have a protest Super Bowl or protest games,
right,
like World Cup, I think Egypt will win that one. But in the same time, we are shaking the democracy in a very different way. But there is a specific way of seeing that also. If we wanted to put in a political academic slogan. I think Egyptian people, which is one of the most old nations of the world, is not accepted anymore the representative democracy systems. People don't believe about political leaders anymore, and they won't see them out. And as you see, this has been ousted in 2 years.
So people are just not, they're not going to trust whoever comes to power.
And I think if the Egyptian political system needs to have more stability, we need to build a new system which is based on more participation by the people. I don't know what we should do, where we should start with, but at least we need to have a bigger parliament with a bigger number. And we need to have a lot of decentralization for a very centralized country. We need to do a lot of work to restructure the political system itself. If this will be easy, if this will be acceptable, this is the challenges we are facing here now.
Mm-hmm. Do people feel at all like the... You know, in 2011, it was a failed revolution?
No. Very few people were supporting the British regime is only saying this. But people think that what happened on the 30th of June was just a new wave of the revolution to recorrect the previous one.
I see. Damon, did you want to jump in there with a comment?
I agree with most of what he says. The two sides are very stubborn, like mule. They agree with nothing each other. I don't know if they'll ever be able to they'll ever really be able to reconcile it all, because they're just so entrenched in their beliefs. And so I don't think. And again, nobody thinks 2011 was a failed revolution. A revolution isn't a one-time event, it's a continuous process. So sometimes you have to correct things and change things and move forward in a different way than you originally thought you had to, but...
Mm-hmm. How do you think it would have to be, there would be a division in the political system to have the two sides, calmer towards each other? Separate regions of the country, how can that gap be bridged?
It would be a very, very, very long process. Because there's two really radically opposing views, one religious, one not religious, one secular, one, yes, different, some have different economic beliefs, things like that. Even small differences can sometimes cause some friction, so it would have to be a very long process again. How to start? I don't even know how they would have to start.
Mm-hmm.
It's complicated.
Ahmed, what do you think about that? How the ways in which the two sides?
I think that first of all, there's a new achievement here. There's something new is happening. First. Mm-hmm. The Islamist political groups is not ruling the states and not getting the approval of the majority. And this is a big big thing happening, and there's a big difference, actually. Because our professor in the political science department used to tell us the most organized political groups in the Middle East is the Islamist groups. That's not true anymore. Mm-hmm. They used to tell us also that they are the most strategized group, and they have a very deep connection with the grassroots of the society. Well, it's again, this is not happening. I don't see this happening. I don't see any strategy they have. I see they are really back to the corner and don't know what to do. They are striking, having weapons, a lot of machine guns inside the peace, the supposed to be a peaceful strike, and they are committed a lot of crimes. They are marching every day, like 10 to 15 marches all over the big city. But this is, makes the people of Cairo not happy. It's already a crowded city. 20 million people are living in the city. And I'm talking about 300,000 who's doing this. So they are really majority, and they are really minority, and they are really back to the wall. I agree with your guest definitely that it's going to take a long, long process when it comes to time. But I think we are in a political position that there is the system is very contradicted to the point the people wanted to prove by force that they are more powerful than the other, or they have more capability than the other. And this need to prove the power, equal casualties, equal people died, equal cars burning, and I'm not happy to see this happening in my country.
Mm-hmm. What has your life been like since the most recent kind of events and protests? Like how has it affected you personally?
No, personally, I'm an activist, so this is not new for me. I've been seeing the same difficulties in Egypt, and in Syria, and in other countries in the region. And I'm native. I mean, I don't see. I understand where this anger comes from. I understand ideology. I understand the religion. Mm-hmm. And I also understand the stupidity sometimes, if I can say that. But I wanted to tell you that the situation is getting. I just wanted to tell you that it's not easy. But also the Egyptian is the people full of life, and this is not stopping the people continuing going out, enjoying the time, and having fun. So this is a very contradicted. Situation, but I don't think that the Egyptian will not fear the political situation.
Mm-hmm. People are accepting and ready to take what comes next and kind of fight for. I guess a positive change, right? Like you know, you're saying the spirit of the people is still they're not fearful of what's going to happen.
People are accepting that there is a change, and this is the price they will have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing they want you to see is this change and this happening. Was as much as they can, less price as they can pay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So there's a price to pay. Hopefully, it's not the worst it could be. Is what like people want to.
Nothing would be worse than the situation. Nothing could be worse than the. You see, administrators having a machine gun killing other administrators.
Mm-hmm.
Still, we can. There is a price. There is a historical price to pay for Egypt, and we will accept this.
Mm-hmm. Do you think? Do you think this is still something for other countries in the area to look up to as far as like getting progress and having dictators rule them? Like, do you think people can look up to Egypt? As far as the organizing and the protests?
The situation is very complicated to the point it's very also hard to predict what's going to happen next.
Sure.
But we are between having the election in the next 4 months and have a civil war in the next 4 months.
Right.
So, very delicate situation, and it's very complex. Need a lot of patience and need a lot of strength and a lot of hope also. The most problematic thing we are facing now that there is a group of the society is different from the society politically and socially also. They see themselves more traditional. And to tell you the truth, I've been also talking with the other American outlets, media, yesterday. I am worried about the new WACO, Texas WACO. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The group is closing the sit-in on themselves. Well, the concept of sit-in from us, the peaceful demonstrators in 2011 against Mubarak. But they are armed, and there are too many. And they are shooting at the police. And they have kids and women in the city. A lot of kids and women. So there is a... And they provoke the police, they provoke the military all the time. And that something is... In the other side, you have some of the old state generals who really want to use a massive power to eliminate this
mm-hmm.
and to stop it, which is something I don't want to see as a human rights activist and as a peaceful activist. I also don't want to see people dying. It's a very, very complex situation. But in the end of the day, Egypt, since 7,000 years, passed by war center. That's not new. And I'm quite sure that Egypt will remain Egypt, and I'm quite sure that the Egyptian people will manage to recover from whatever problems they have.
Mm-hmm. That's a good it's a good outlook to have. Damon, in studio here, do you have a comment on that sort of perspective? That you know, no matter what, the people will. Obviously, I mean, they'll go on, but that it'll, you know, it'll be a difficult struggle. I guess that's the...
This kind of thing, it's always a difficult struggle. If you really want to take that dream and make it the reality, it's always going to be a long and difficult struggle. It's never going to be complete in just 1 year, just 2 years. It's always going to take maybe a long time. So,
mm-hmm.
But eventually Egypt will rise and become again what it was in the past and what it can be in the future, the best it can be, and the Egypt can reach its full potential.
How many elections and kind of marches, you know, like this, it's I mean, obviously you can't predict, but I mean, I guess the sentiment is to keep going on, keep marching and keep having elections.
Yes, the elections will be constant, constantly going. There was many elections before,
mm-hmm.
So there will be many elections, many protests, many things before there is the Egypt is where it will need to be. I don't know. Again, I don't know how many elections. I don't know how many marches, but
yeah.
I think it will be maybe a lot.
Ahmed, do you agree that it'll just be an ongoing? Ahmed, you there?
Can you repeat the question again?
Sure. Do you think it'll be an ongoing process of marches and elections, and you know, and repeating that process over and over?
I'm expecting more marches, more elections, and more revolutions.
mm-hmm.
and I see this very normal.
Mm-hmm.
We've been living in a closed political system since 60 years. And now with all the demographic boom, people want to see real changes, not hear about real changes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when President, the Muslim Brotherhood president, was talking and using his propaganda about the new seeds and the new wheat we will have in Egypt, and wheat is very important for our bread.
Mm-hmm.
And all the media, all the propaganda was like, yeah, we will be, this will be the biggest in the history and blah, blah, blah. And you see the youngest activists go and make a deep research and comes with the result like, this is just a propaganda, this will never happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to develop the agricultural system for the next 5 years to hit that point. And you see this, and people are really making big jokes and fun about it. So it's, if the new president will come try to lie on the Egyptian young people, which is the majority of the population, 60% of 90 million people is under 55 years old. 40% of them is under 25 years old. That's a huge boom. That's a very talented young generation, a very talented, well connected to the internet, well connected to the world, and wanted to live in a modern state. If a new government or a new president or any one will come to the power, think that he can do things bluffing this next generation, I'm expecting unrest. Egypt for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Do you see any leaders arising that will be honest, as you're saying that people will see through any deceit?
I don't know anything about. We don't want to see an honest leader. We just see somebody to tell us what's going on and what his or her plan. If we see this, I think this will be much better for everyone. If we find someone tell us what exactly the problems and how he or she think this is the way to solve it, this will be much better and much easier for everyone.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Damon, as far as what the people, you know, are looking for in, you know, if there's going to be ongoing protests and elections, when will people kind of feel like it's moving in the right direction? Or, I mean, do you think it's moving in the right direction, but how will people kind of feel confident that it is?
The way I see it anyway is, mm-hmm. people will feel, when things start to get slightly better in Egypt, 40% of the country about is living in poverty, maybe more, I don't know the exact number.
Mm-hmm.
When things start to get slowly better and better, that's when it will start to hopefully to really clear out and things will get maybe less complicated and somebody like that can come. I don't know if any of the current leaders,
mm-hmm.
of any of the major parties are going to be any of the way forward, but...
Are the main issues economic issues that have gotten the most rise out of people?
The way it looks like to me is mostly economic issues. Lots of social and moral issues aren't that big of a factor. So, or they are big, of course,
mm-hmm.
but they're not as big as some people would like to think.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Ahmed? Are the kind of main issues that have gotten people, you know, on this you know, track to make the country better? What are the main things? You still there, Ahmed? Oh, we may have lost Ahmed Sami. He was in speaking to us from Cairo, and I really appreciate him coming on the program, but I guess we don't have him on the line anymore. So we still have another 5 minutes to go. Damon, we'll focus on you then for the remainder. But once again, he was in Egypt studying and visiting or looking into his family lineage and relatives there, but was caught up in the protests. And you said you've been involved in, you know, activism in Canada as well, right?
Yes, many.
Yeah. So are the issues like there? Are people, you know, involved in the activist community? Is there a big difference between the way people, you know, think and activists in Canada?
Within activists, I'd say in Canada it's more. It's not as polarized as Egypt. So people here are really, they're pastime activists. Nobody here leaves their job to go to a protest. Nobody here leaves their job to go and help organize things. Well, I shouldn't say nobody, but at least very few people that I see will go leave their job to go to a protest or will take time. It's people here are activists if they have time. Meanwhile, in Egypt, you see people walk off their job to go to Tahrir Square. I mean, people in Egypt, a lot of them, at least a lot of the ones in the lower class, don't have anything to lose from going to a protest. I mean, and then some places people haven't been paid for months, so it doesn't really matter if they're there. So,
I see. So they're not as reliant, I guess, even on their jobs when the economy is doing so poorly, or if they're not being paid. That would be quite the big deal for everyone to leave their job even for a day or two here in for a protest in North America.
Yes, everybody here, but if nobody here wants to leave their job for a protest, they will get fired or they will not make the money for the day. But in Egypt, if you you're not going to make the money that you need to live anyway from your meager salary. So, so there's not too much harm in leaving your job to go to the protest and hopefully make things better so that you do eventually have something to lose.
Would you be interested in returning to Egypt? Are you planning on going back?
I definitely am. I don't know when. I just got back yesterday, so I haven't really made the plan to go back yet. But
yeah, right. Yes.
But yes, I will be definitely going back.
Wow. So I didn't realize you just came back yesterday.
Yes, I came back last night. I got here at 8 and maybe 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's you. You're winding down from that situation. I guess it's a lot different. I guess all around, like even just traveling around the city, it's so much different.
Yes, it's a lot different. I'm getting used to Winnipeg, getting used to traffic lights, getting used to just to that fact that Winnipeg isn't as safe as Egypt anymore.
Mm-hmm. Did you like the people who were going to school there? You know, most of them were probably, you know, they're from Egypt. Is that right?
It was a variety. There were people from Egypt that were there. There were a lot of my friends. Some of them were Egyptians, Americans, Dutch, Norwegians. Many people.
Mm-hmm. And what were the, kind of their reactions? Like, I guess for all the different nationalities, what do the different people think?
I don't want to say that it was based on the nationality, but yeah. A lot of the Americans, when it came time for the protests, stayed inside their house. My Dutch friend, she works for a political party back in the Netherlands, so she was in Tahrir Square with us.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people from the other European countries were there with us. Meanwhile, a lot of people from, mostly people from America just stayed inside and stayed home. And my roommate was American. He stocked up on things and barricaded himself, and that was pretty much that day.
Oh, yeah.
On the 30th.
I guess we're just about out of time here. Is there a final kind of, you know, thing that you took, or not a final thing, but but something that really stuck with you about your experience there and kind of witnessing it firsthand?
I've never witnessed that much energy towards trying to achieve a goal. I mean, of course, there's some energy here, but the energy in Egypt is so much stronger. It's something that's kind of hard to comprehend, going back and forth between. I can't even really put that into words.
Mm-hmm.
And just the feeling of so much energy.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on the program, Damon Nazarbath, a student who is studying in Egypt and just returned last night. We also had Ahmed Sami, an activist in Cairo, on the line just a bit earlier. So that about does it for the program. We're going to just take a quick little break here, and then Democracy Now! Will be coming up next. You're listening to People of Interest here on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.